Our sermon today picks up from where we left off in Titus. It's chapter 2, verses 15, and verses chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Declare these things, exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one look down on you. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show every courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. I desire that you insist on these things so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. Thank you, God, for your words of instruction and encouragement. We got through the prophets, and now I can say I've preached from every book in the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi and everything in between. Now we turn to the New Testament. I have just three more books to go after today's look at Paul's letter to Titus before I can say I have completed the preach through the entire Bible challenge. This book, Titus, is known as a pastoral epistle. The two others in the Bible are 1st and 2nd Timothy. These are Paul's instructions and encouragements and letters to young preachers whom he has nurtured and supported. Paul had sent Titus to Corinth in Greece to work with the church Paul had founded there. Titus later went to Crete and served as the first bishop there. Paul dispatched him to Corinth to set things in order, to get the church back in line with what Paul had taught them. He gave Titus instructions for selecting and appointing elders, listing characteristics important for a person in this important role. Among the requirements were someone who was blameless, married only once, whose children were believers. Potential elders were not to be arrogant or quick-tempered or addicted to wine or violent or greedy for gain. Instead, such a person needed to be hospitable, a lover of goodness, prudent, upright, devout, and self-controlled. He also needed to be firmly grounded in the word so he could preach sound doctrine correctly and refute those who contradicted it. Paul was particularly lashing out at false teachers. He wrote, "There are also many rebellious people, idle talkers and deceivers. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for sordid gain what is not right to teach." Paul told Titus exactly what to do with these people. Rebuke them sharply so that they may become sound in the faith. This would help them turn away from myths and stop promoting false teachings. It would not be an easy task, Paul admitted. Their very minds and consciences are corrupted, Paul said. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their actions. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Gee, Paul, tell us how you really feel about these guys. But as for you, Titus, Paul continued, you are to teach what is consistent with sound doctrine. Teach older men to be temperate, serious, prudent, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Teach them to hang on no matter what. Teach older women to be reverent and help them teach what is good so that they may encourage younger women with a good example of self-control, chastity, and kindness. The young men should be self-controlled, but Paul was never a do as I say, not as I do kind of guy. He encouraged Titus to grasp and assert his authority as leader of the church, but he didn't give him a pass. Titus was to be the model of good works. He was to show his people integrity and seriousness and be a champion of sound speech that could not be censured. That way, any opponent would have nothing bad to say about them, all of them. Titus would let his people know they were all in this together. But it wasn't through their own intelligence or power that they were able to do this. God's grace was training them to renounce impiety and worldly passions and to live lives that displayed self-control, uprightness, and godliness. How well Paul knows us. The struggles of the past to try to live a life worthy of God, to resist the temptations of the world, to be voices of acceptance and beacons of hope, they're still with us today, strong as ever. The things Titus had to battle against have not gone away entirely. If anything, they seem to be more magnified, more pronounced, and tougher to fight these days. It makes me wonder, would Paul have a Facebook page? He would be appalled at what people post on a Facebook page sometimes. Further in this epistle, Paul urges Titus, but avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. After a first and second admonition, have nothing more to do with anyone who causes divisions, since you know that such a person is perverted and sinful, being self-condemned. In our world of constant connection and slipshod social media, we are certainly fighting an uphill battle to fulfill Paul's ideal, which is really God's ideal. It's easy to get caught up in all the accusations and the worthless time wasters frequently found on Facebook. You find yourself spiraling into a rabbit hole of muck and nastiness. All kinds of theories are posited and posted without doing any sort of background or research on them. I tell myself all the time, don't read the comments, because one mean comment leads to another, and snarkiness abounds. Listen, Paul would say, cut it out. Stop tearing one another down. Stop quarreling about petty things. This is not our calling from God. We are supposed to lead obedient and kind lives. Declare these things, peaceability. Oh, I just made up a new word. Gentleness, humility. Don't look for ways to cut people down. Look for ways to lift people up. Create an atmosphere of gentleness and courtesy. It's even more important for us as followers of and believers in Jesus Christ to show another better way to live and be. Human nature makes this so hard to do, but we exchanged our human nature for Christ's in baptism. God's kindness made the difference in us. We've been accepted so lovingly we can't help but do the same for others. We were created and saved to do good works through God, for God. That's our calling. Paul reminded Titus he and his church members knew what it was like to be on the other side of godliness and goodness. They had, and we have had, their time of being foolish, disobedient, despicable, hateful. But now all that is gone. When they heard, and when we heard, about God's loving kindness, they knew and we knew that we could no longer act like we didn't know what was the right and proper, perfect way to live. How could we stay in the darkness after having seen the light? Why would we try to drag the dregs of disbelief and ignorance into our new life of belief and enlightenment? It wouldn't work. So Paul has taught us, all the old things such as malice and envy and hate have no place in our new life. Remember, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We have changed and it shows, or at least it's supposed to show. Declare new things, good things. So what does it mean to declare? It means to stand up boldly and proclaim loudly that a change is going to come and it's going to start with you. To declare means to stand your ground and say what needs to be said, even if some people don't want to hear it. So declare yourself free from the chains of the past. Declare that you're going to do better and be better because of the arrival of Christ into your life. It has made a real and lasting difference in you. Perhaps the next time someone posts something negative on Facebook, you'll pause before you respond and counteract it with something positive. Especially these days, there is so much going on and so much dissent and discord and downright disrespect being displayed. It's up to us to counteract it. We need to be mediators and moderators, not instigators or agitators. Who, us? obscure, insignificant us? Well, first of all, as God's very own beloved and blessed children, there is nothing obscure or insignificant about us. We have the power, we have the spirit, we have the grace and the mercy and the hope that this world needs so desperately. We have the example of how Jesus Christ waded into the controversies of his day with a message of redemption and forgiveness, with a message of reconciliation and salvation. Declare these things, he tells us. Declare that you have found purpose and peace in following me. Declare that you have found a new and better way to live. It's not so much having your pie in the sky by and by when you die. It's about coming into this here and now world with open hearts and open arms to declare that the time of division and disruption and clutter and clatter has got to come to an end, and the end starts with us. We declare that we are here to do as God has asked us to do, to look for and to do good, healing, heartfelt, hopeful, merciful, joyful deeds of goodness and kindness. No more snarkiness, no more lurking, no more snideness. And in the spirit of Paul's derision for do as I say, not as I do, I need to confess that sometimes I look for stuff on Facebook to get myself riled up about. I rarely share those things. I might just give it a like. But even that little bit, as unintrusive as it seems to be, even that perpetuates the persistent problem. So I'm making a conscious effort to stop doing that. I'm really weaning myself bit by bit from Facebook, which is not easy because I do like to send birthday greetings, and I'm a sucker for a good list like 10 ways your dog says I love you and angry cockatoo videos. But sometimes it's not conducive to or supportive of my faith walk. And when something is opposed to your faith walk, you gotta let it go so it doesn't make you stumble and fall, or worse, make someone else stumble and fall. We are here to be honest and obedient, kind and encouraging. Now, of course, we know that many times when you try to be good and do good, you get shot down, or in Jesus's case, you get crucified. You get called weak or even stupid. Softness is scoffed at. Belligerence is bolstered. Kindness is not encouraged. Toughness is touted. Meekness is mocked. Strong arm tactics are where it's at. But that's not what builds up the kingdom of God. All the things Paul listed for Titus and for us to declare are the building blocks of God's kingdom, things that are excellent and profitable and desirable for everyone. Who doesn't want to live without fear? Who doesn't want to live in hope? Who doesn't want to accept acts of kindness and learn how to reciprocate and replicate them? Who wouldn't prefer a life in the light rather than a life in the dark? We are supposed to seek peace and pursue it, to find our truth and live it out. Declare these things, Paul says. Let this be the life you live. Let this be the litmus test for when you go online or whenever you walk the line. Does this particular post or this particular thought or this particular comment add to God's glory? It's hard sometimes. You know what James said about the tongue. It's hard to tame and it's desperately wicked. So it's something we all have to work on, to gauge our thoughts and our deeds against the high standards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, we remember something else Paul wrote, this time in Philippians. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And not only think about these things, but declare them. Declare the truth. Declare and point out honorable things. Declare yourself to be on the side of justice. Declare the necessity of purity, life-enhancing, uplifting words and deeds. Declare pleasant and commendable and excellent things and praiseworthy things that you see not only in God and Christ, but in others. Declare once and for all that you will be, now and forever, a force for good and wholeness in a fragmented world. Declare that you will no longer create the pitfalls and pieces, but you'll be there to fill them and gather them up. We know our good works don't save us, but they are what God expects of us. Declare that you're going to do exactly that, starting here and starting now, from now on, forever. Let us pray. God, it is sometimes hard in this world to put a watch on our tongues and to not respond in kind to some of the things we hear and see. Help us, God, to be the building blocks of a better world. Help us to look for and do things that honor and glorify you. Help us to declare your goodness and your mercy and your love to all through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Something